Yes. Good morning, guys.
Yeah. We best that fade now. It's messed.
Doing really good. Really good on it. Oh, my head from mic. Okay.
You good? Doing good.
Now we're good. Now we're good. Good.
Yeah. Now we're rolling.
I couldn't hear myself. What's up, guys? Welcome. Stroll Show. Seeing the flow, as always.
I'm the C. Sitting across from me
is the flow. What's up, guys? We got a great show for you lined up today. We got great band out of New Jersey.
Why do you say lined up? Why do people say that? Is that a thing? Like, because you're just like you're putting all your ducks in a row.
I think so. I think because
lining up the stars. Everything's aligning.
Yeah, I don't know, actually.
Because there's a lot that goes into booking a show, right? And booking a thing, right? You gotta put all those lines
together,
but they don't necessarily intertwine. They just have to line up.
That's true. And we have them lined up, right?
And you do. Well, you killed it. You booked like 2 months worth of guests in one day.
Which is surprising because I feel like it usually takes a while for people to get back to us.
No one should discount the hustle of Flo. the hustle of Flo.
I have not seen that movie though. Hustle and Flo.
It's a good one, actually. It's
actually, watch it.
It's actually very good. Snoop Dogg, I think. Is Snoop Dogg in it?
I feel like one of the Ice Cubes is in Snoop it, right?
Dogg. Anyway, I don't know. Anyway, we got a New Jersey band on the show today. Can't Swim.
Right.
From New Jersey, as I said.
Keensburg, I believe. Keensburg.
Keensburg?
Keensburg, which I've actually been to.
Really? What's good in Keensburg?
Well, I will verify this with them, but I used to work at a summer camp during college as a counselor, not as a counselee.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what it is, right?
Like I don't know.
A student. I was not a student. I was a...
you were a camp counselor.
I molded the youth is what I did, I think.
Yeah, and they abused you, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, but I didn't get good tips from the parents.
But at least that, yeah, tips are...
Tips are welcome.
It was an option. Like, you know, you don't get them, but I mean, at least there was an option.
That's true, but that's not about that. So we went to Keensburg, right? And we took a trip out there, and there's actually like a water park. I know that's a bit surprising to some to say. But there is a water park out there, and I got to go on all the rides. And
yeah.
Lazy River, they had those. What are the ones like the dueling? Like you know, like you got the two
tubes,
the two tubes you go down. You know, like you race the other side or something.
Oh,
they had that. They had all that.
I think it's just a slide.
I think so, but there's
like two slides, dual.
Yeah,
slide.
But there was dual slides. Yeah, maybe it was like dual sliding racing, and they had like the race ones where you go. Everyone goes down on the mat, and they all.
Oh, cool. What is it? What was the park called? Slippies?
I have no idea. It was like probably like Keensburg Water Park or something.
Yeah. That's cool. Hey, that's something.
Where can you go find the water park? I mean, we could probably go to Coney Island, but
that's not really a water park. That's got like does Coney Island even have like a log flume?
They used to. I don't know if they still do.
That's my least favorite ride.
Yeah,
I hate log flumes
because you never feel safe.
No,
you don't because you're not buckled in. You're not.
And the whole thing is just a drop, and you're getting dropped into toilet water.
Like, yeah, it's true.
What's the point? What am I excited about? Oh, I'm gonna get cold. I'm gonna get a splash. Yay!
But no, I feel like most of the time you don't even get wet.
Right. Like. Or if you're sitting in the front, you get destroyed like, by the toilet water in your face. And it goes in your mouth. Like, what is the water? How are people even like cool with this? Like, I wouldn't even want to do that if the water was clean. I hate drops. I don't like drops. I don't like dropping into things, and especially when that thing is toilet water.
So now let me ask you this.
Ask me.
Have you gone to Disney World, right?
Of course.
And have you gone to Splash Mountain?
Yes, I have.
Now that's like the biggest log flume there is.
I know.
As far as I've concerned.
Well, it's like one of those things where I you know, you're there. I'm not going to just be like, I'm not doing it. Like, I don't know where I'm going to be back in Disney World. You know, I'm going to just do it.
You got to go do it.
What am I going to do? I'm going to put my big boy pants on. I mean, I prepared for it. I wore my trunks.
Nice trunks.
My trunks.
Right. Good, good.
And I was ready. I was prepared. And I feel like, you know, maybe the Disney World was a little cleaner. I feel like I did one in, remember Rye Playland? You ever go to Rye?
Oh, yeah. That's our old, like, little kids die.
Jesus Christ.
I swear, that's like, every time I hear about it, someone's getting caught in, like, a machinery or something.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if some people are going to die in a couple of years from, like, secret salmonella that's in their bodies from sucking down some of that.
Secret salmonella.
Yeah, secret salmonella. Hey, we got, next week is the new band, Secret Salmonella, is coming on. It's gonna be great. They're pizza log flume rock.
I probably feel like Crazy Tapeworm is involved with that or something.
Crazy Tapeworm. That's another band. They're opening up for Secret Salmon.
We're going antonymy bands now.
Okay, I bet
there's anatomy bands.
Entomological. I don't know. I'm too dumb.
I'm waiting for the big hook to pull me off mic. Just like get off this kid out of here.
Well, just to about face real quick. I wanted to say this before we get into the song up for Can't Swim. Because we got time. They can call in about, you know,
seven minutes.
We got a little time. Yeah. I know I'm a little late to this game.
That's all right. We're all late to the games.
But I started watching Stranger Things.
Really?
I had never watched it.
Oh, my God.
Me and Megan, we binged watched the whole thing yesterday.
Oh, you watched the whole thing yesterday?
Watched the whole thing.
What was it? It's like eight episodes.
It's eight episodes, so it's not too bad. And some of them are like 40 minutes. Some of them, it's not like 8 solid hours, but it's still a lot to take in.
It's an ample amount of time.
And wow. And it's like one of those things where it's like the hype train was obviously like just chugging along the track, and everybody loves it. Everybody loves that Millie Bobby Brown who plays
the girl with the,
11.
With the no hair.
Yeah. She was great. She was awesome. Yeah, great.
It was super cool. I mean, for kid acting? Come on, kid acting.
All the kids are great. My favorite thing is that it starts off with them playing Dungeons & Dragons. And it had me thinking, like, man, if I lived in the 80s, if I grew up in that time, I would have been a dungeon master.
Yeah.
The original DM. My DMs would always be open. I would have everybody come down to the house. And people would, I would write out some crazy, because based on the dreams that I have, oh my God, I got to tell you another dream. I had a dream about,
my God.
Like, murderous Inuit tribe that was killing people off because we were building. I don't know. I had this crazy dream, man. I also had a dream that Vince McMahon was my grandfather.
What are you having? Like,
I don't know, man.
I'm having like seizures at night. I feel like we should be concerned about.
Maybe it's people. Maybe I shouldn't have like 4 beers before I go to bed every night.
Yeah,
maybe
I feel like that should suppress your memory, right? That's not.
I don't really do that.
Nah, he's kidding. He's kidding.
I'm just kidding. I joke. But anyway, I would have loved to have been a dungeon master as a kid, and that was awesome. Like to think that they were playing in the basement for 10 hours, like just what's gonna happen? It's kind of like the original binge watching, right? Like you would binge it. You would just like get sucked into this world that you make up. But then the world kind of came to life in the show, right?
Yeah,
you know the monsters were coming.
The demigod, or whatever, right?
Demigod,
because he's the first character you see on Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah,
and then he like comes to life.
Yeah, so there was like an alternate universe where that kind of exists.
Oh, now I'm thinking about it. Now I don't want to spoil too
much. Don't spoil.
Because I feel like not too much of the world has, you know,
not
most
so.
Of the yeah everyone has seen it at this point, and everyone's excited because that Super Bowl ad that they took out. And,
well, that's really what knocked it home for me. I was just like, this is, I gotta.
You had to go. You had to do it because you never know what could happen. Because then people start spoiling it. You know, be like Walking Dead. If you don't watch it the night of, and you're done. Because someone's going to go on Facebook and just spoil it, I think, for the sake of just spoiling it.
Right. People do that all the time. I mean,
just to be dicks.
Because anything. And that's why, like, you know, the shows I really like, I try to keep up with it. Like, when we got into Breaking Bad, I watched it every week. That was, like, one of the only shows. That and Game of Thrones. You're like, that's, you religiously watch it. I don't wait and save it up. I'm like, I'll just watch it all in one thing. But the shows that are on Netflix that are all on there at once, it's like daunting to like, and I know that I'm going to like it and I don't want to get into it. Like, I just don't feel like I want to like make that my life for a weeks or something. And now I'm obsessed with it and I can't wait for the new season to come out. And I'm just like everybody else. I'm a fucking sheep, bro. I'm just a sheep.
Yeah, we're all sheep.
We're all sheep. We're all sheep.
That's why I'm so OG, bro. I'm watching Mad Men 5 years after the fact.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good time to watch it. Now no one is into it.
Yeah, no one's talking about it.
No one's talking about it.
I just talk to people about it and they'll be like, all right, Steven, like just stop talking about it. Like, okay. So let's do something a little more topical here. We're going to listen to Can't Swim's. What song you got for us?
Well, what's the most recent album? Would you say?
The new single is up right on top.
Oh, We Won't Sleep.
That's the one.
That's the one. I guess we might as well just play that. This is Can't Swim. And We Won't Sleep. They don't want to do a lot of things. They can't and won't do certain things.
Yeah, you can't force them. They had their own men and women.
And we'll be back with the band after this. You're listening to The Stroll Show, Radio Free Brooklyn. Stay tuned for more juice.
Ask yourself, what have I done? There's a place in hell for your friends. We are all doomed.
Guys, there you go. That's a little preview of things to come right now. That was Can't Swim.
We Won't Sleep.
We Won't Sleep. I won't sleep. I'm readjusting everything on the board right now.
No, you're doing your business.
I am. That's what I got to do.
Doing your business.
Just like Ludacris would do.
While we wait, I was reading about the thing that I'm going to do for my Oh Shit Moment of the Week.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm a little... I'm a little distraught because it's not as cool as I thought it was going to be.
Oh, no.
But it's still cool.
Can we pretend it's still cool?
We can still pretend it's still cool, but I want to be totally upfront. I want to keep it 100.
Yeah, keep it to
you know,
me.
100 with my fans
don't give,
and my
don't
listeners.
Give me 90% on this shit. I want full on 100% oh shit moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's still really cool. It's just not as cool as I thought. It's like maybe 75% as cool as
now,
I thought.
Now, can you tease it somewhere? I know we tried to tease it before. And
well... You said before you were waiting for someone to get the hook out for you.
Now I feel like I know.
Hook.
I know.
Because the hook brings you back.
All right, that's what I thought. A little Blues Traveler?
Well, it's a song that Blues Travelers did for a movie.
Recently?
Of the same name.
1992. Oh, I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say now. I think I've seen this. Then it's a certain GoFundMe campaign, I believe.
Yes, we will talk about it later. Perfect timing. We got Can't Swim coming up. Let's go
right here. Hello.
Hey man, how's it going?
Very good. How are you doing? Who we got from Can't Swim on today?
My name's Chris. I sing and play guitar in the band.
Awesome, Chris. Well, welcome to the show. Paul and Steve here from The Stroll Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. Well, welcome.
How you doing, man?
Man, I'm good. How you guys doing?
Doing good for Sunday. How you feeling? I know we always ask like to ask people how they're doing. It's Sunday. It's a little early. You okay? You feeling? You got the juice? You got some juice in you?
I got the juice. I got a coffee with me. I'm chilling.
Awesome.
He's getting prepared.
He's got juice and coffee, both breakfast beverages. Cool, man. Really, thank you very much for joining us today. So, what's going on with you and the band right now? What can you kind of like fill us in on?
Not too much, man. We have a new member, so we've been practicing a lot. We have a friend of mine named Andrea playing drums for us. We leave Wednesday to do a little South tour with a band called Set Your Goals. It's like Nashville, Atlanta, Florida. Putting out a new record March 10th, which will be our first like full-length album. And then we got a lot more tours. We got a full U.S. with a band called 4 Years Strong in March. And then we go to the U.K. with a band called Real Friends in April. Yeah, that's what we're up to.
That's amazing. Those are all, I mean, as far as we're concerned, those are
heavy hitters.
Heavy hitters, yeah.
Totally, man, yeah.
So is this like so surreal to you, or like how are you feeling about all these like cool opportunities you guys are getting to do now?
Yeah, man, it's awesome. It's pretty wild. We've only been a band now. Actually, we played our first show, funny enough, with 4 Years Strong last March. We did a 5-day little tour, and it was the first time Cancer Swim's ever played. And oh, wow. Now a year later, we're doing a full U.S. with 4 Years Strong in March. So yeah, it's definitely pretty overwhelming sometimes when I think about it. But
yeah, man, that's
it's been great. Yeah, it's very exciting, and we're all happy that it's happening this way.
Yeah, no, because it seems like within the last, because I've been following you guys on Facebook for a while, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, we're announcing a tour with Set Your Goals, and then 4 Years Strong, and then Real Friends. And I was like, oh my god, like these guys are really 2017 is starting out to be pretty good for you guys.
Totally, man. Yeah, I agree.
So when did you guys start up? You said last year, so that's 2016.
Yeah, we started about I guess almost like exactly a year and a half ago. I started like writing songs on my laptop, sent it to the dudes in the band, and we just got together and recorded everything ourselves, kind of just in our rehearsal studio, and sent it to a few people, and then our record label, who's called Pure Noise, just called me up on the phone. He heard it and wanted to be a part of it. So we had to like quickly make believe that we're a real band and bought gear and bought a van, and then yeah, we started touring. So yeah, it was all relatively pretty quick.
That's crazy, man. I mean, to me, like, you know, I'm in a band and like I've been at it for like almost a decade, and things like I talk to a lot of bands. We talk to a lot of bands, and like everybody's got like a different story. But it sounds like for mm-hmm. you guys, it's really just like overnight, things kind of started to change. So like, how do you adjust to that? Like, is it like the dream come true, or does it feel like, you know, kind of too much too soon, you know?
Well, growing up, I played in a bunch of bands, but I played the drums. I never was a songwriter. I never played guitar. I never sang. So I definitely, had, you know, some sort of hopes that I would do a band that was lucrative one day, or, you know, do a band that was even full time, but never as the singer. This was just something I was doing as a goof, kind of just to like practice and learn a new instrument. And then it got picked up. So it's funny how things work. It's like something that I tried so hard at for, yeah, almost exactly 10 years, a little even more. I joined, what am I now? I'm 27. I joined my first band when I was like 13 or 14 and like started touring immediately. I practiced drums so much. I taught lessons. I took lessons as an adult. Like, definitely was something that I was all in at. And then something that I just kind of did for fun is what made it happen. So it's bizarre, man. It's weird. Life kind of throws you a curveball sometimes. And
that's wild, actually.
So yeah, I definitely think there was an element of adjusting, because I don't even, like, I had no idea what I was doing. I never, like, even stood on a stage before. I always just sat behind the drums. I never talked into a microphone before, you know, like, it was definitely pretty overwhelming at first, for sure. But yeah, we've been making it work. All the dudes in my band are very supportive and helpful with me adapting to the new role. But yeah, it's definitely been playing catch up a little bit, you know.
Yeah, because I gotta say, so did you teach yourself guitar, or that was you were just kind of like fooling around or something?
Yeah. Actually, like the first things I ever really learned how to play on guitar are these Can't Swim songs. Just like YouTubing chords, and you know, I had a lot of ideas, obviously, over the years of like rhythms and stuff that I wanted to like do in other bands, and. I got a new laptop, and I just started goofing around on Logic, and I wrote those first 5 Can't Swim songs. It was just took me a few months, and then, yeah, that's pretty
you
much
guys
it.
Are.
I
yeah, that's
still
crazy.
Don't even own a guitar. I just use the other guys in my band's old guitar.
That's really insane, man. But did you find that it was a little easier to pick up the guitar, like, because you already had the, you know... like the drumming skills, like the rhythm, and like I find that because I'm a drummer too, and I don't really play guitar. I like can mess around on a guitar, but I find like
sure.
having the rhythm and keeping the beat, like your whatever your dominant hand is, your right hand is the strumming hand, right? And then
so
you can kind of like keep like almost play it the instrument percussively as a being a drummer, you know?
No, I've heard that very often, and then listening back to the music definitely makes a lot of sense. It's not very like, you know, riffy, or I don't think the songs rely much on the sequence of notes rather than the rhythm of the chords and like kind of just the feel of the certain part. So yeah, I definitely think I heavily rely on my drumming background to write the Can't Swim songs for sure. And that hasn't changed even with the full length or even with new demos. They're all very, I think the rhythm comes first and then I try to do the melodies and the notes after that.
It's good to write. I feel like it's really good to write that way personally. Like you want to, like you have to have that good foundation and then build up, you know, from it. Like I feel like that makes a lot of sense. And the songs really reflect that. Yeah, man. Steve, I thought you had a question. Sorry.
I'm still marveling over the fact. I'm assuming you started picking up guitar at like what, 26, right? Is that like more of a year you would do that?
Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
And then look at that. Within a year.
The first week we started playing shows with For You Strong. My birthday's in March, so yeah, 26.
That's crazy. So like, if like, let's say you're doing an interview, kind of like this one, right? So if I asked you, who are like your guitarist influences?
I don't even know if I can name.
That's right. It's kind of tough, right?
That's tough. But can you give us drum influences?
Well, that's easy, right?
Yeah, drums I could do all day. Guitar, I guess it would be something that I was describing, you know, a second ago, where it was basically more about the song rather than like some crazy Slash shredder guy, because I don't really know even what those guys are doing.
One day, man.
Just simple stuff. I don't know. I've always liked the guitar work of like The Cure. I thought that was always cool, like the big reverb-y, chorus-y sounding effects I wanted to work in. I Can't Swim. I always thought Death Cab for Cutie had like really cool guitar stuff. It was like very subtle and very simple, but like where sometimes like the hook of the song was just like a little 4-note little riff. They can do a lot with just some simple stuff.
Right.
But yeah, no, I don't even own a guitar. I'm not even sure like how to restring it. Like I'm very new to the craft.
This is really mind blowing to me, man. And I thank you for being honest and open and sharing all
this with us. I know.
Appreciate that, because I mean, you know, and not that you shouldn't be. You should be proud of that. I mean, like it's so crazy that that you know you're doing all this and playing with all these bands, and like your background is in something totally different. But it speaks a lot to your talent and your ability to make it work. So. Good on you, bro. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
I guess like kind of just you know, going back a little bit to your drumming days, like what was the original bands like? Can you name drop a couple of your first bands that you were in?
OGs.
Yeah, a couple of the OGs bands. I would like to maybe check it out, or maybe.
Yeah. Nothing that was really too notable, but before I joined Can't Swim, actually, kind of when Can't Swim started, I was playing drums for a band called Trash Talk. They're like a kind of like a fast hardcore punk band from California. They've been friends from mine for years, and their drummer wasn't working out. So, you know, the year or two before Can't Swim started, I was playing a band. I was playing for them, and There's really not much else I could tell you that you would even know. tons of bands in Jersey, you know, local bands. I joined a band in high school. Yeah, other than Trash Talk, I'm pretty sure that's the only one that will show up on the internet. Yeah.
Well, it's all probably pre-Facebook type stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly.
But I played a lot of shows myself in Jersey, like New Brunswick and kind of area. So I mean, I don't know. Maybe I would know some of the New Jersey based bands. I don't know.
What band were you into?
I'm in Cinema.
Oh, nice. Actually, that does kind of sound familiar.
I feel like people say that because if you say it twice, it kind of already sounds familiar.
Hammers at home.
You already heard the word once. So like, oh, Cinema. Yeah, I thought I heard it.
I said Cinema once before.
Can't swim. For
that. it was a thing for a while. That was we played with a band once called Future. It was just like, what is, you know, like, I don't know. It was a thing for a while. Like Motel, you ever hear them?
There's a few bands that did that.
Yeah, it was a thing.
Double up.
But we're still doing it. We're keeping it alive.
Keeping the double names strong.
I love it.
That's cool, man. I guess I would like to know some of your, your influences as growing up. I mean, you've been doing this since you were 13. What was the igniter for you? What was the moment that made you go, damn, I want to really commit my life to doing music?
Sure. I was pretty fortunate enough to have two uncles, one on my mom's side, one on my dad's side. My dad's brother lived in Brooklyn, and I would go to my grandma's house all the time, and he had drums in the basement, and he played in a bunch of punk and hardcore bands in the 90s and stuff.
Oh, wow.
So he showed me all that, all the classic stuff, and taught me a lot of like fast beats on the drums, and that's definitely what ignited like me wanting to be a drummer. And then my uncle on my mom's side was kind of like this freaky dude. He would like wear black nail polish and stuff, and he loved like The Cure and The Smiths and like Nine Inch Nails. Oh,
wow.
Stuff.
Wow, you had like a two-pronged attack coming at you.
Yeah, exactly. He lived with my parents for a little while when I was like a teenager. So me and him got really close, and he was showing me all this crazy stuff. And then I started joining bands and all the rest of it. So definitely, if it wasn't for them, I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't be playing music at all. And then I just started to, listen to whatever any other kid is playing in bands, listens to. But yeah, it was definitely because of those two dudes is why I play music now.
I feel like it's always good to have like a personal influence like involved in like a family member
because listening
to it is one thing, but then at the same time you can see the instrument, like, so you can see that power, that like that drum, you know, like you're seeing like drums in front of you first time, like, look at this thing.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you
even... I remember being blown away by the Michael Mike. I was just like, man, this is the coolest thing ever. Like, yeah.
I see right there, boom, it's just like, how do I get to do what you do eventually?
How do I do that? Yeah, exactly. And
especially if you get it when you're young, because kids can get very obsessive about things, right? Whether it's like, a basketball or Pokemon or it doesn't, you know. Like
yeah,
you,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So,
it becomes your whole world.
Yeah, yeah. So if you get it when you're young, and then especially like, you know, learning an instrument really is like learning a language, right? So, and they say when you're younger, your brain is more of a sponge, right? You can soak up knowledge a little easier, and it's a little more difficult to pick up a new instrument or a new language later on in life. So that's why it's even more impressive that you are now trying to become the front man of a band playing guitar.
Oh,
so
I know.
It's crazy.
I'm curious too. What do you prefer? Do you ever miss going back to play the drums?
Actually, a lot of people have asked me that. Even our new drummer was just like, "You miss playing drums, dude?" Like, it's definitely a lot easier. You know, it's definitely something that I feel like I'm more confident in.
Cause, of course, yeah.
You know, I got pretty good after playing for fucking 15 years. Yeah. And you know, you're a little less in the spotlight. So you know, if you're having a bad day, you can kind of just put the metronome on and play a show and not really have to perform, you know.
But right.
With me, it's crazy. You have to like interact with the kids and like, you know, but I don't really get too caught up in it. You know, I don't think I look at myself any differently than I did when I was like a drummer. I just think we all go up there doing equal parts. It's not like I'm have some crazy ego because I'm in the center. You know, I think it's just, I feel like I'm performing as if I played the drums. But singing, dude, singing is like just the worst.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, singing is so tough. It's like such a fickle instrument.
And it's a thing you got to really take care of. You got to take care of your voice, yeah, and especially singing
on tour,
every day.
Especially because Can't Swim has, you know, some pretty like aggressive, loud,
absolutely
yelling, yeah, stuff. Yeah, you got to be careful.
A lot of tea.
And it's just, yeah, it's very easy to like get down on yourself. You know, like it's so easy to feel like you suck.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you can't hide really up there.
Yeah, from, you're like, yeah, the face of the band, exactly, technically, I guess, right?
Exactly, yeah. And singing, too, you know, like the slightest bit of out of key note, you sound like, you know, like a bad talent show. But, yeah, you got to just have fun with it. You know, you got to go up there and just kind of perform rather than try to nail it perfectly because, you know, you could critique yourself until, you know, I think Adele is like the only one that's like literally like a perfect singer. You know, she can like,
yeah,
like everything.
It's like she's got real life auto tune on her voice at all times.
Yeah, exactly. You know, people who I think are fantastic singers, like bands that we've toured with and stuff, come off the stage and be like so bummed on the performance. And I was just like, dude, what? I would have killed it. Like, hit that. Yeah. So, yeah, I think you got to, you know, take it for what it is and kind of just try to connect with the kids rather than give them some opera performance.
Yeah, that's what they're not going to go back and overanalyze it. They're going to just be like, wow, he blew my mind that night.
Right, he was a little sharp on that. Hey,
he didn't hit that high A over C as perfect as he could. You know,
I just, you guys assume everyone's always drunk at the shows.
That makes it better. Yeah,
yeah, just it's like picturing people in their underwear, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody's always
just assuming we're all just drunk middle-aged men. What I wanted to ask you, though, was how is it like interacting with kids? Because you're playing like shows like 4 years strong and stuff. And do you try to like, because some frontmen like to get a little goofy, you know? Some people like to like make them laugh. And
yeah,
say,
you're like a comedian up there, or are you more of a like, you know, point
straight guy?
I mean, yeah, that's actually, surprisingly enough, one of my favorite parts about doing a band that like is kind of like catered to like a younger crowd, you know? Like we were saying before, like kids are so much more impressionable, and then when you hit like your late 20s, you just are a miserable bastard.
That's true.
So it's great. Yeah, I love talking to the kids. I love seeing, you know, them connect with the songs or anything, even like on the internet, or you know, you look out and you see like a, you know, 18-year-old with his girlfriend or something singing along. That's like the cool, that's actually probably my favorite part of it, because, you know, I remember being that age and like being so psyched to go see bands. It's cool
that
Can't Swim, I think, is for kids like that age, you know? Yeah. I mean, it'd be great, too, if a 30-year-old comes out, and which does happen. But I like that Can't Swim can give something to, like, a younger kid, because I think it's such an important time to be into music and go have something to do on a Friday night, you know? So, yeah, I try to talk to them as much as possible at the merch table or... Yeah, I definitely don't take myself, I don't know if I'm like cracking Seinfeld jokes on stage, but I definitely don't take myself very seriously. I'm not telling them to like mosh pit or like, you know.
Yeah,
I need a circle
like
pit right now.
Yeah, I don't think any of us take ourselves very seriously.
I think that's good though. I think, you know, kids want that genuine, you know, because, you know, people can tell if you're being real on stage, you know, like, and I think, you know, especially when you're kind of, you know, already vulnerable up there. I don't mean to like psychoanalyze you or something, but like, you know, but like I feel, you know, because you're still kind of learning this craft and getting used to this, so like you're kind of making it through the show with them, so it's like maybe that it attributes to you know, just the overall
experience,
feel of the show, you know.
Totally. No, I agree 100%.
But so yeah, see,
yeah, let's go take it back a little bit to Can't Swim. And you guys, you mentioned earlier today you had a new album coming out March 10th, Fail You Again. So what was the, I guess we'll talk about the recording process and how that all began. Because I know you guys started releasing a bunch of like EPs and like singles and little one-offs.
Sure. Yeah, like I said, when we started the band, we just recorded everything ourselves. And then now we had a label and it was time for us to make a full length. And there was a bunch of talk, a bunch of different producers. And we kind of felt like if it wasn't broken, why would we try to fix it? So we just recorded everything ourselves again. We did it all over the place. We did some in my bedroom and some in Greg's living room. We kind of just made it work wherever we could, whenever we had the time. And yeah, that we've released two songs off of it so far, Stranger and We Won't Sleep, which are both on the full length, and the full length has 12 songs on it. Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a pretty easy, relaxed process because we weren't working with, you know, a dude that wasn't in the band or, you know, some crazy producer guy. It was just us four. This time was definitely a little more collaborative because I did everything myself the first time. This time we all played on it. And we definitely don't take it, especially because, you know, I think, like, I made it work. You know, I play guitar and sing. We all kind of try to make it work. So I played drums on a lot of the record. Danny played drums on a lot. Even Chez, who doesn't know how to play drums at all. We had him, like, do a part on the drums just to kind of get a different feel.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I played bass. Chez played bass. Greg played, you know, like, we all didn't really take it as like, okay, this is my instrument and I'm going to record all 12 songs. It was just, okay, well, I physically can't do that part and I would just give the guitar to somebody that could. So yeah, it was great. Who knows what the future will hold, but I would love to keep that dynamic. I think, like, you know, I played drums growing up in a million different studios, a million different bands, and was able to witness a lot of different dynamics when it comes to recording music. I thought this way was very lovely. I love doing it this way. And yeah, it was crazy, man. And then at the end of it, I was like, wow, we made a whole record. I never would have thought this would happen. I never thought, you know, we would even, the first songs would ever leave my laptop. And now we're here, you know, making vinyl records and t-shirts. And so it was cool. And yeah, comes out March 10th.
Awesome, man. It's an amazing, amazing story. And we're looking forward to hearing the rest of the record. Like wrapping it up with kind of like final two questions I want to ask you.
Totally.
Is there a place on this upcoming tour where you haven't been yet that you're excited to go to? Like a new area, a new state or something?
There's a couple of markets that Can't Swim hasn't hit in the States. We're doing South by South, or what is it called? South by So What in Texas.
South by So What? I never heard of that. Yeah,
it's like South by Southwest.
Yeah, it's like right there. I think it's like the same week, or maybe like a week after, or something. A lot of really cool bands though are playing that. That should be really great. And then we have been to the UK maybe like 3 months ago, but really excited to do that with Real Friends in April. We love it over there. I have a lot of homies over there that I'm excited to see.
Awesome.
And that's it.
Okay, cool. Cool, man. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Of course,
it's been awesome. Final question. And I don't always ask this to everybody, but it's one of my favorite questions to ask. Okay. Because we're gonna play a song after this, after the interview, when you hang up and you go and live the rest of your life out, right?
Or the rest of the Sunday. The rest of the Sunday.
Is there a song like on the last record or something that you can suggest, like, as far as like when you play it, it kind of kids get really excited, or something that you didn't expect would be over so well in a live setting? Like what really gets the crowd going that maybe people wouldn't expect?
Okay. Wouldn't expect. I mean, I would say maybe even personally, my favorite song Can't Swim has still ever written is Your Clothes, which is the first song. I think that's like, yeah, the most energetic kids get psyched on.
Cool.
I mean, I didn't expect kids to like it, so to me, it's unexpected.
Yeah, no, that's that's it. That you hit it, man. That's it.
And kids all excited, Chris. Getting them all excited.
Yeah, all right. I would say Your Clothes for sure.
Cool. We're gonna. That's the one. That's the gem. We're gonna play that one for sure.
Cool, man.
Yeah, cool. Chris. Well, thank you so much. Good luck on everything, because you got a busy schedule coming up in the next couple months.
Yeah. I got to finish this coffee for sure.
Yeah, that's the first thing. That's the first step of many. Yeah. But good luck. Safe travels on the road.
Man, thank you guys so much. Yeah.
Hope to see you guys when you come to Brooklyn or New York City. We'll be there.
Totally.
We'll be in that crowd drinking.
Be awesome.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Enjoy your day.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, man. See you.
All right, that was Chris from Can't Swim. Awesome, yeah. Awesome dude. What an amazing story.
That is like, that's like a Dave Grohl type story.
I can't believe that.
I didn't want to say Dave Grohl because I feel like we say his name
every time. I know, you know, it's okay. It's a, you know what? It's not your fault.
Where the man has come from behind the drums to the front,
right?
To the forefront.
It's Dave Grohl's fault for being as awesome as he's so awesome that you can't even like him anymore.
No, you can't. I'm sorry, everybody that likes Dave Grohl. Because I like him too, but I can't like him anymore because he's just too successful.
It's over.
Sorry, Dave. You're too successful now.
Ruined
it for us all.
But yeah, I really, it was crazy. And to think that you could, I mean, in the span of a year, you know, and I hope I didn't come off saying like, oh man, you shouldn't be this successful or whatever. But like, he obviously was working at it in a different capacity for years. And that's one thing. But like, sometimes you just, you get a fresh start, you start up something new. And, you know, in the way the world works right now, it can happen that fast.
Dreams,
you know, like,
dreams can come true.
It really, I mean, you know, and I guess to us, that's like the dream coming true. But like, you know, to somebody else, like who are all these bands? Who's real friends? And who's the, you know what I mean? But like to us, we know that's big stuff, and that can lead to more prominent shows, friends, and that's good stuff.
Yeah, real friends is like, you know, they're swinging their junk their around right now.
Pendulum.
Yeah, they got a big metronome going. We're gonna keep it musical.
But yeah, so speaking of keeping it musical,
yeah, let me stop talking immediately.
We're gonna play this song called "Your Clothes" off "Death Deserves a Name," the previous record from Can't Swim, and you've been listening to the Stroll Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. We'll be back with more juice after this.
Hard.
That was hard.
That
I can see how
that was too hard.
I can see how kids get really excited that.
The kids getting super hypey or super. Was that beyond turnt?
Oh, beyond turnt.
Yeah, beyond.
As we said last week with our list of 27. It was like an odd number of like
of turnt Caucasian classics. But I gotta say this song. This was awesome. And talking to Chris, he sounds like a very laid back, candid man.
Yeah.
And he comes off super hard on the record. I have to say, he really brings it.
Yeah,
maybe he conserves his energy.
Maybe it wasn't. Maybe that wasn't Chris. Maybe we're being lied to, bro. Maybe it's the Illuminati.
No, you don't want me to talk about that.
No, I don't actually.
You don't. No one wants me to talk about that. People are probably just like, turn off the apps. Turn off the RFB.NYC.
Delete TuneIn from your thing.
Yeah, but let's just do this before we do the oh shit moment. You listen to the Stroll Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. We do have a Patreon page that is available. For your donation pleasure, you can donate to this channel. We are community-based, whatever that means. I don't know. But you can donate to us. It helps us pay for electricity and this microphone that I'm talking into and a bunch of other fun stuff.
The only people that don't get paid is me and Steve.
Yes, that is right. We do not get paid.
Stop touching things, bro.
Something fell off.
You're very fidgety today. What's
I
going
know,
on?
I don't know. Maybe I'm sleeping on the couch till like 6 a.m.
Just finish your plug. Finish your plug and let's.
So go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge, or you go to the Patreon page /radiofreebrooklyn, and you drop us $1, $2, $3, $4, $5, $6.
You give something, you're gonna get something. You're gonna get something from us.
Not for a dollar though. Not $1 to $5.
You might get a shout out. You might get a T-shirt. You might get a hat. You might get a sweater. You might get a cat. I'm like Dr. Seuss. I'm like Dr. Seuss on
Green Eggs and Ham. Yes, I am.
Sam,
I don't know. Whatever. So that's that. Yes. So donate if you want. I don't give a
Donate or don't donate.
Yeah.
That is the question.
You got two options.
Whether it is nobler to give money to Radio Free. I don't know.
Which
I got
ironic because it's Radio Free, so you wouldn't expect money. Either way.
Flexing my Hamlet muscle there. You like that?
Yeah. Oh.
Boom. Hamlet. Boom. Soliloquy. Boom. English major.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna say. This
Boom.
Man is
toilet paper on my wall.
Is so learnt. He's so
learnt. Instead of getting turned, I'm getting learnt.
He's learnt. He's turned by getting learnt.
Oh my god, we'd make some good teachers. We'd make some good teachers.
I would be scared to mold the youth of this fine country.
Speaking of which, before I get to the oh shit moment, because I'm gonna get to that. I'm gonna get to it, guys.
I know
you
are.
Can't escape it.
You can't escape it. You can't escape by not listening.
But yeah, you could literally click off. But we were talking about Stranger Things earlier. The teacher in Stranger Things, I think, is my favorite character in the whole thing. The science teacher. Who's just like the guy? They call him up like, how do you how do you make a sensory deprivation bathtub? Like, and he's just like,
of course.
He's like, yeah. What, this guy is teaching fourth grade science in Indiana.
Yeah.
Wait. Oh yeah, but he knows about time paradoxes and alternate universes.
Like, and all the secrets of the government.
Yeah.
Too.
I mean, whatever. He was my favorite character, he's so necessary for the show. That's why I thought I'm not gonna say anything. You think he's gonna die in the show?
Yeah, like, he never does.
I mean, you know,
maybe he doesn't.
I
just
ruined
it for myself and everyone else. But I was gonna say the kid on what's the kid with the black hair? The main kid, was it Mike?
Yeah, Mike.
He was in
Finn Wolfhart. I think
yeah,
his name.
That's his
or
real
Wolfgang Wolfborn Wolfbane or something.
He's another fellow Canadian out there for everyone trying to count Canadian celebrities.
Yep.
And he was on the Pup music one of their music videos.
No shit, really?
Yeah, he's in one of them.
Wow, he must be a cool kid because you know what else he's on You know the Game Grumps on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
They have they do guests on sometimes. They're called Guest Grumps.
Oh, that's
yeah.
That's,
He was on it. Yeah, and he's a big fan of Game Grumps, and he was saying you guys should. He was telling them they should replay a game. There's a game they already played, and it was so funny that they should just replay it.
What?
That's what he said.
And I would listen to that kid. Everyone loves that kid. He's like, if that was my son, I'd be like, yeah, you're so
be
awesome.
Proud.
You're
Mike,
so awesome,
yeah. Mike.
Mike, come hang out with us.
Maybe we'll get you on one day, Finn Wolfbane, whatever your name is.
Yeah, we'll call Collect. We'll call Collect to Canada.
That would be an oh shit moment if that actually took place.
The whole time we'd be like, why are you so cool, but you're like 20 years younger than me? And he'd be like, Steve, look at you.
Steve, please. Just,
please, I'm Dungeon and Dragons.
I'm ashamed you're from Canada, bro. I'm ashamed. Oh, Canada. Oh, no, it's Steve.
It's like, we're just going to hang up on this one. He's not full bred. He's a mouth breathing Canadian.
Yeah, you mouth breathing, ego eating. Okay,
he's a fake maple syrup. He's an Aunt Jemima, not from
the
tree.
Dude, don't even say is that sacrilege in your household to eat eat maple syrup that's from Aunt Jemima?
Well,
that maple flavored.
Well, you know what it is though. Sometimes regular maple syrup is really expensive.
Well, that's true. It's important.
I mean, when we go to Canada, we buy the real stuff,
and it's cheaper.
Well, it's still. I mean, so maybe a couple bucks less.
But they put it in like a glass bottle. It looks like a flask.
Yeah,
like,
no, it looks beautiful. It looks like it could be like a nice, cordial drink or something.
Right. But that's like their main export.
That and friendliness.
And Justin Bieber.
Who we're not sure if he's staying or coming. I don't know if we're going to deport him. I don't know what the hell's going on with him. That's a welcome deportation, if I have to say.
Listen, Justin Bieber. He's in career rehabilitation right now.
Oh my god!
They're rebuilding his image.
Yeah,
he's got a team of people that are trying to make him look cool again.
Imagine if someone tried to make me look cool. How cool I would look!
It's crazy the levels that it goes. I don't want to get into the conspiracies. I want to get into the oh shit moment of the week.
Let's do it. Let's engage.
Already
engaging in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh shit. Ring the bell.
All right,
no one heard that.
All right, so the oh shit moment of the week. I think Steve already knows about it because I'm sure me and Steve, I don't bother telling him anything because
we just know.
I find, like if I say, oh man, I heard something cool, I'll message him and be like, dude, did you hear about this? He's like, yeah, bro, I heard about that like 4 hours ago. And then he'll do the same thing to me. I'm like, yeah, bro, I heard about that like 25 minutes ago. Like, it's just like, it's like, there's no point in even discussing things anymore.
You can't talk anymore.
Yeah, Facebook is literally like
it's ended. Our friendship.
it's supposed to have created friendships, but it ends friendships. It ends conversations. And actually, it hips conversations not even start. But anyway, so I didn't tell you about this.
Tell the public.
But yeah.
Don't tell me anymore.
Mostly because I wanted to surprise it. I thought maybe if you hadn't seen it, this news, that you would be surprised when I told you about it and maybe be excited.
You know what's sad, though? Because if this is the same news, someone actually texted me the link to it last night.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Man, so, all right. So I missed it by one day.
By one day.
That's cool. All right. Well, we're
gonna, I don't know why I'm doing this like I'm a producer. I'm like,
no. We still got some time. Yeah, we're good.
We got plenty of time.
So, yeah. So I was, doing my usual thing. And now it's like I actually look at Facebook to try to find oh shit moments.
That's a good. I mean, right now I feel you can find plenty.
Right. Shit moments. But like last week, I didn't really find one. It was hard. I had to think of something else.
Did you make that list last week?
No.
No.
That was something turnt. That's something.
I just love saying that.
That's something that I heard. I read weeks earlier.
Through the Caucasian grapevine.
Right. But I keep a little list. I keep a little list of all the oh shit things. I have an oh shit list. It's not a shit list. It's an oh shit list.
I like that. I
can show it to you. It's full.
I believe it. Much like Manas Yahoo, who believes as well.
It's more white than the list of the 25 songs that get white people turned. So I'm scrolling through Facebook, and I see something from like the Nerdist or something. And everybody, I believe, remembers the movie Hook, right? Yes,
with
Robin Williams.
Robin Williams, thank you very much.
Dennis Hoffman.
Yes.
Is it Dennis Hoffman? Yes.
Yes.
Bob Hoskins plays Smee.
Yes, he does.
And I believe that's all the famous people. I don't think anybody else.
No, what's her name? With who's the Tinkerbell?
Oh yeah, Julia Roberts.
Yeah, remember her?
Oh my gosh, she was so sexy in that movie.
Yeah, little nymph.
Woo!
Flying around.
Woo! Mm. Gotta do a little little dance. I'm like, I'm gyrating right here. So sexy. And it's like you wouldn't expect her to like want to kiss Robin Williams. Like, come on.
Yeah, but it's
spoiler
so
alert,
small.
They kiss in the movie.
It's so small.
But yeah, so that movie obviously, 90s kids. Classic. It's a classic movie. It's a classic for anybody. I mean, it wasn't critically acclaimed. It wasn't like, considered one of the greatest movies of all time, but Dennis Hoffman as fucking Captain Hook, awesome. Robin Williams is just great in everything. It was a great movie, right?
Yeah, it was really good.
And it gave us one of the most iconic characters of the 90s, Rufio. Rufio. Rufio.
He's like, looky, I got hooked.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah. Mung Tongue.
Yeah, I love
Mung Tongue. Yeah, I'm gonna call you a Mung Tongue from now on. Yes. You rude food bag, pre-chewed food dude. Come on. What does that even mean? Who knows? Substitute chemistry teacher.
Yeah. Everyone listen, kids, as kids we probably understood it perfectly.
You don't question anything. As the 90s kids, we were very accepting of what was being fed into our brains.
Yeah, we were just the senses were just like, oh, wow.
But this movie is like my Goonies. Like, I didn't really get into the Goonies until later.
Yeah.
And it had all the Goonie qualities, right? Like, all the little kids. And it really was a way to get kids into it because, just like with Stranger Things, it's kid actors.
Yeah, how do you get awesome. Kids to like it?
And so, anyway, Rufio, great character. I believe that... He he's deserving of his own feature film. And come to find out, it was posted on Nerdist. Nerdist reported.
This is Chris Hardwick.
Yep. That the guy who played Rufio is trying to kickstart a prequel film for Rufio.
Just for so a Rufio kickstarting.
So a Rufio origin story.
Wow.
That's what it's going to be.
I'm surprised something like that hasn't come up earlier.
But that's what I'm saying. It wasn't that commercial success. It wasn't. I mean, I think it made money, but it wasn't like it was that movie. Because we look at it with those rose-colored glasses, bro.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So
like
rosy.
We look at it
so rosy.
Right. It's very rosy. And I've looked back at that movie, and I'm thinking, this movie's great. Why didn't anybody? It had that like Home Alone-y music in it.
Yeah.
Like every movie was scored by like John Williams or something.
Yeah, he's like, I got them all, baby. I got them all in the early 90s.
But yeah. So, he's trying to kickstart that, but what I found out would kind of like. Decreased it for me. It's not a full feature.
Oh yeah, it's like
a 30-minute short
30
film.
Yeah, because I guess he realized who would play Rufio if not for Rufio himself, who's now probably in his 40s, right?
They could find
another Rufio.
Come on, they'd have to. Why? This makes so much sense. I hope this makes enough money. He's only like trying to get like 30 grand to make this.
It's not a lot. And I look at it this way, because Rufio in and of himself, because Peter Pan has always been just Peter Pan, right? Doing his fun adventures with all the kids and flying them all over the place to Neverland and all that.
Right, like how did Rufio get there?
And yeah, who was Rufio?
Yeah, and he was so awesome that he was able to take over. Basically, he had Peter Pan's coconut sword.
He was Peter Pan, because Peter Pan grew up. Right. He became...
Right.
So, man, he became a man because he left Neverland.
Yeah. Why don't they? I mean, I feel like Peter Pan's stock has fallen a lot because there was a Peter Pan origin story, the movie that came out like a year or two ago.
Ooh, what was that one?
It was just called Pan.
Oh yeah, I don't want to see
it. Yeah. No one did. And
did you didn't see it, right?
No.
Would you want to see it now?
I mean, I don't know, not really.
Even after the Rufio, I gotta be honest. Was?
Well, there was a lot of backlash because they had a white girl play Tiger Lily, Rooney Mara, who actually is the daughter of the Maras who own the fucking football Giants.
Oh,
like, I didn't know that, but I'm like, okay, that's why you're successful. Yeah, your dad's a billionaire.
Yeah, he's like, just get in this movie. It's like Will Smith putting his kids in movies.
Yeah, just come on. You guys suck, but come on, it's okay.
Just be famous.
But yeah, so, you know, I feel like that maybe there's not enough, maybe there's just not enough juice behind it, but if it makes enough money, who knows? It could blow up, kind of like Kevin Devine's Kickstarter blew up back in the day.
Yeah, that's true. Back, you know? Tripling whatever his cost was.
Yeah, maybe it can make some money. So anyway, that's an oh shit moment of the week, and
I hope that shit gets made.
I hope so too.
I don't know if that can't be a segment, but I hope.
I hope that shit gets made.
I hope that
shit
gets made.
We're still waiting for the first segment of That's Ridiculous.
That could literally be anything. Like we'd be driving here and some guy literally cut across three lanes to dip into the exit with us, and that was ridiculous.
That was ridiculous. That really did happen. So look, first ever fucking That's Ridiculous segment just happened. We probably should start wrapping up because we're running a little bit out of time.
Yeah, we got what's coming up next on the on Radio Free Brooklyn schedule? Is it pull request?
Pull request is coming up next.
Yes, that's a technology show for all those who like technology.
Who all those techies?
Yeah, and next week for us we got Slingshot Dakota out of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I'm very familiar with that area, so they're coming on. They're, I think, like boyfriend, girlfriend, or fiance.
I think you came to see my band in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania one time.
I think so. I was an odd evening.
It was.
Not because of the show, but just circumstances. And anyway.
circumstances.
I must leave this now. We got like 2 minutes, but not really. But so we got that stuff coming up. Follow us on the Facebook, Stroll BK. That's across all media platforms. So just give us a like. Give us what's up. Send us a message if you want to talk to us, and we'll probably talk to you again.
We'll talk to you. And and big shout out to Brian, who is a friend of ours that listened to 4 episodes of The Stroll in one day.
That's too much for any man.
Too much for any man. Your brain should be melting out of your ears, bro. Like, your face should be melting scanners style, man. You should not be alive right now.
Yeah, we'll dap him up if and when we see him next.
Yeah, we're going to dap you up.
Give him a Stroll pin.
Check out his band and Stroll alums, Legend
first
of You.
First ever band you've ever interviewed. So we really got to go because we can't stop talking now.
And now we're on a roll. We're on
that diarrhea of the mouth.
But there's one last thing we have to ask.
Oh, my goodness.
Hang on. There's a man that I need to know if he's up. What's his name again?
Vinny.
Vinny!
Vinny!
You up?
You up, kid? Rock.